264. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. You can be seated. That's good singing. Let's go to God in prayer at this time. Who has a special on their heart tonight? Yes, Brother Dwayne. And this is Tony Tipton. Okay. Gotcha. Okay, let's remember Tony. Yes, Sandy. Okay, we'll remember that. Yes, Pam. Yes. She's getting them all together. Yes, brother. Yes, John. Becky. Mm-hmm. Remember Deanie. Good to see Jack back there. Remember Jack in your prayers. Remember David Sales back there, who's going to be having surgery on the 14th. Anybody else tonight? Yes. Okay. Yeah. I know that feeling. Yes. Okay. I remember Kathy back there. She recovers. We still got people recovering from surgeries. Okay. Love little Kelly. Remember Kelly. All right. Mr. Chris, you going to take up our offering tonight?
Yeah.
Amen. Come on, buddy.
That's a man has to take his coat off to get the money. That's not a good sign for you all out there. Gracious God in heaven, we thank you for this night, God, for loving us, for taking care of us every day, watching us, guiding us. You're precious to us. For all these prayer requests tonight, Lord, we lay them at your feet. God, we ask your will be done in each and every one of them. And for anything, anybody that wasn't mentioned tonight, Lord, any unspokens, we bring them before you tonight. God, teach us the word of God tonight through Gene. I know you've prepared him to give us your word and feed us tonight what we need to hear. In your name we'll pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Sing another one tonight. 129. You can remain seated on this. We'll just tell it to Jesus. Amen.
Are you weary? Are you heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you Jesus, tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
How many of you believe that tonight? If you don't think that daily you're going to face things in your life, daily, whether it be death, sickness, somebody bothering you at work, the devil all over you, tell it to Jesus. Don't drag it around with you. Let Jesus have it. He says, cast your cares on me because I care for you. Amen. We ain't got a better friend than that in the world. Let's just sing about it.
Do the tears flow down your cheeks a bit and tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you seen that two men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. And you have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Christ coming, kingdom on your side. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone.
That's good singing.
257. I hope you don't have to lead it, brother. Be careful what you ask for now. 257? You better lead that one, brother. I don't believe I know that one, brother. How's it go, brother? See, you're just like the choir. You throw these on me. Jordan alone. I don't have to cross Jordan alone. All right.
At choir practice, we'll tune up on that one. How do you think?
Jimmy, you'll be a witness to that. Come on, Brother G. Your preaching's got to be better than that singing, brother.
That definitely wasn't one of the top 10. I went around the country for about 25 years preaching revivals. And in every church, North Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, Alabama, South Carolina, they had the top 10. And they'd sing them. And that's why I never opened a book. Because everybody sings the top 10. We sung two of them tonight, and they call them the top 10. And so that's where you learn them. If you've been coming on, can you hear me all right? One of my ears is completely stopped up. I'm only hearing now this one. And so I want you, if you can't hear me now, you raise your hand and we'll turn it up, all right? Just keep y'all on that back there, young man. Because I want you to be able to hear what we got to say. I heard a little story here a while back. My daughter-in-law tells me these stories. She's blonde-headed. I mean, she's a real blonde. And she said, "Did you hear about the brunette and the blonde watching the news?" I said, "No." She said, "Well, this man was going to jump off of this building, and the brunette, bet the blonde, said, I bet he jumps." And she said, "I'll take that bet." And so he jumped off the building. And that blonde pulled the money out, you know, to give to her. And she said, "No, I can't take your money." She said, "I saw this at the 12 o'clock news." And that blonde said, "I did too, but I didn't think he jumped twice." So you figure it out. It's easier to preach to you when you're laughing. I mean, I've been up where I was looking to go out the back door. I mean, it looked like a mob, you know. It's like when you receive the offering. You know, it's like preacher get up and said, "Let's take the offering." That word "take" is not a good word. Let's receive it. It is a lot better word than "take." It's all in how you word things. If you've been coming on Sunday morning and listening to Tom teach, and I don't say this to, you know, make his head swell, but he's one of the best Sunday school teachers that you'll hear. For one reason, he will get you to thinking. Get you to thinking. Now I'm going to open up and I'm going to show you something. But do not go out of here and say that I predicted when Jesus is coming. I did not. But I'm going to show you something that's kind of interesting. Go to the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, then we'll get into something else. It's going to be kind of along the lines that Tommy's been teaching. But I want you to go to chapter 16 of the book of Revelation. Now, if you stay around me too long, you know I like to study prophecy. I watch the news to tie it to prophecy. And about 2 weeks ago, I was watching the news and watching the weather, and the Euphrates River is drying up. Matter of fact, they went as far as to say that it's almost half dried up, and by the year 2040, it will completely be dried up at the rate that it's going. Now look at Revelation chapter 20, or chapter 16 and verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now, if that verse happens in the fifth year or the sixth year of the tribulation period, that means that Jesus could come back in 2033. That was the age he went back, 33. Now, I did not say Jesus is coming in 2033. I don't know when he's coming. Now, he said, you don't know the hour or the day, but you can know the times at hand. All right? And we all know that. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out that we're living in the last days of the last days of the last days. It's about as bad as it's going to get. It's like this global warming thing. I was thinking about that the other day. And you know, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter 8, the last verse, God said, now I'm never going to destroy the earth again with water. He said, as long as time remains, there will be winter and summer. There will be rain and drought. In other words, the seasons won't change. Now, global warming, when you think about it, you ever go into a room and it's about 68 outside? I've noticed this at the funeral home. And you get about 50 people in the funeral home, and we have to turn the air on. Now, when I got there, it was comfortable. What happened? Each human puts off 25 BTUs when they enter a room. That's of heat. Now, global warming is common sense. When you put over 8 billion people in the world, there's going to be some global warming. Each one of them's putting out 25 BTUs. Figure it up. You don't have to be too smart to figure this stuff out. You know, man has nothing to do with the climate. You understand that? God said, I set it up after the flood. God knew when he set it up that it was not going to rain today. God knew when he set it up that it would not rain tomorrow in East Tennessee. He set it up. God doesn't get up in the morning and say, well, I'll make it rain here, make it rain over there, make it rain over there. You see, he knew when he set it up what we would need today. I just read recently where we're going to have a little bit of a drought in our area during the winter. But the almanac said it was going to be wet and cold. But the news people, I remember Mark Reynolds gave the news one time and he missed it about 5 days in a row. Next thing I knew, he was in Florida on vacation for 2 weeks. People were calling him, aggravating him. He just took off. You know, so nobody knows. But little tidbits like that in Revelation, something to think about. The kings of the East. Russia's moved into Ukraine, and they're gradually going to keep moving on. China right now is trying to make a move. They're the kings of the East, moving in on Jerusalem. Iran is a key figure in it, a big key figure. North Korea, oh yeah, they're all going to join alliance. They're all waiting for the Antichrist. They don't know that that's what they're waiting for, but they are. Now that's message one. Message two, go to Matthew 27:40. And I'm going to take this out of context. Tommy don't like that, but I've got to have a launching pad. All right? Matthew 27:40. Now, if you've been coming on Sunday morning, Tommy's teaching in the book of what? Ephesians. And he's been talking a lot lately on past, present, future. No. He said, you who were dead were past. Hath he quickened present. And the future, of course, he used the word divine. And so that's the past, present, future. Now I'm going to deal with it in another aspect tonight. But I won't stray away from where he's at. Maybe I can enhance it a little more. Hopefully. All right? But notice what he says in Matthew 27:40. Matthew 27:40. This is, of course, during the death of Christ. And I'm using this to take some words out of context. He says, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Now, I'm going to take some words out of context in the last part of that. The words come down. I used to watch Price is Right a lot, and I the announcer, you know, somebody would come down and they'd say, call out a name, they'd say, come on down. You're the next contestant on the new Price is Right. And those words just kind of rung in my head, and I thought, come down. Come down. And then I got to thinking about the past, present, and future. You see, we think about Christ coming the second time. We forget that he's already come twice. Three times. In Genesis 1:1, what did he say? Let us make man. Let us make the earth. Let us. It's a plural word. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then he comes down, and that's where he represents the prophet. Now notice what it says. Look at 1 Timothy 1:15. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying. You already know this. After I say it, you'll remember it. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Now my brother says that he took over Paul's place, that Paul's no longer the chief sinner that he is. He said Paul moved to second. Well, that's the attitude everybody has, I guess. We should have. Paul said he was the chief sinner. Listen, until you realize you're the chief sinner, you won't move to the next phase. Until you realize that you are a sinner. Now, watch this. He has come down in the past to redeem us. Now, keep your mind on Sunday morning and follow right along. Why did he have to redeem us? You who were dead. What did he redeem us from and for? Himself. Let me show you what some things about it. The word redeem means to buy back. Why did he have to buy us back? Well, if you remember when God made Adam and Eve, he made them in his image and they were perfect. They walked around naked. No shame. God came down and walked with them. I kind of think that's a Christophany. And I kind of think Christ walked with them. All right? There's Christophanies in the Old Testament. And I think that's one of them. And he came down because Jesus said, I and the Father are one. So if you're saying God, you're saying Jesus. If you're saying Jesus, you're saying the Holy Spirit, because there's one God. I don't understand that. I don't either. That's what makes it so interesting. But notice, the prophet. You see, a prophet is one that brings the message from God. You understand that? Jesus is the prophet. In the Old Testament, the prophets brought a message from God and wrote it down. In the New Testament, the apostles wrote the Word of God down. Because you see, they saw what the prophets and who the prophets talked about. You couldn't be an apostle unless you had seen Jesus with the naked eye. Now you could be a prophet and not have seen Jesus with the naked eye. You understand that? A prophet was that messenger from God to declare who Christ is. Don't forget what I told you the first time I ever preached to you. When you read a verse, put Christ in the middle of that verse, because this book is the message of Christ. He fits in every verse. If you don't understand a verse, you put him in it and reread it, and you will understand it. But now notice, he came to buy back that he had in the first place. You see, God made man in his image to worship him and to have fellowship with him. And if Adam and Eve had not have sinned, then we would be living in utopia now. Because I believe they would have been given the right to have children before the fall. But after the fall, they had children. And now the Bible says that we are conceived in sin. Not the act of conception, but what is conceived is born in sin. You understand that? So, he said, he brought us back. He recovers that is lost. You see, in the past, you've got to realize that there is a good shepherd, there's a great shepherd, and a chief shepherd. The good shepherd is the one that's been sent to find the sheep. Remember when he told the story? That if one lamb is gone, he'll leave the 99 and he'll go get that one because he's the good shepherd. The good shepherd does that. The prophet does that because he came down in the path. He sets us free. He rescues us. He saves us from endangerment, from imprisonment, from the evil one. He's paid the price, the ransom that has been demanded. What was demanded? A blood sacrifice. Story of Abraham and Isaac, a blood sacrifice. All through the Old Testament. I remember when I was in Israel, I spent 6 days over there, and we went to the dome, you know, where the Muslim dome is. You see a picture, it's right there, the big gold dome building. That's where the temple originally sat. That's also where the tabernacle was. It's the place where they offered blood sacrifices. And we were allowed on tour, now this was in 1980, to go down under that dome from the outside. And it was amazing. The dark stripes in those rocks. Our tour host said that it was blood stains that had hardened and become as part of the rock. I could see that. Because in the Old Testament, if you remember, they offered up thousands of animals at a time as sacrifices because the blood was demanded. If you remember when Moses went in and let them out, they had to have blood on the doorpost. This book is a bloody book. And if you take the blood out of it, friend, it's no better than the almanac. It's no better than TV Guide. And years ago, one denomination decided they were going to take the blood out of their hymn books. Well, guess what? Their hymn book became like that. You can't take the blood out of the book. People say, well, I don't want my children to hear that gory stuff. No, but they'll let them play these games on TV where they can kill 100 people in less than 10 seconds and blood flying everywhere. Or they let them celebrate Halloween where the blood's all over the place. But we don't want to hear that in church. God have mercy on us. It's a bloody book. The blood was shed. Jesus shed his blood. Amen. Aren't you glad? I'm sorry he did, but I'm glad he did. I have mixed emotions about it. I've seen people that have died and laying in pools of blood, and it's not a pretty sight. Sometimes it's sickening. And every time I see one, I think about what Christ did. You say, yeah, but he was God. It doesn't matter. He was God's son. He was a human being. He had the flesh of a man. He walked like a man. He looked like a man. He hurt like a man. He said, the foxes have holes. I don't have anywhere to lay my head at night. The rocks became his pillow. The moon became the light. He didn't deserve anything that he got. But I did. I did. Everything he took at Calvary, I deserved. You see, at Calvary, I got what I didn't deserve. And I didn't get what I did deserve. You understand that? I got his mercy, which I didn't deserve, and I got his grace, which I didn't deserve, and he gave those to me because I got what I didn't deserve, and I didn't get what I deserved because of the blood and his mercy and his grace. So, he has come down in the past as the prophet and the good shepherd. Now some people get no farther than that. That's sad. As one man said, we have a lot of Christians that are betweeners. And he said, well, what's a betweener? He said, that's somebody that is between Egypt and Canaan. They've gotten out of danger, but they're not enjoying the benefits. Betweeners. A lot of people are betweeners. And then it's like a baby. Go with me, if you would, to John chapter 14, verses 20 and 23, or through 23. And then I'm going to go to Hebrews chapter 5, and verse 14. Go to John chapter 14, 21 through 23. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loves me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas said unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him. How's that word come again? Jesus' favorite word. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. So, he has come down in the past as the prophet and the good shepherd to redeem us, to buy us back. Now go over to Hebrews chapter 14. Hebrews chapter 14. If you get there before I do, just hang on. I'm looking for it. Hebrews 14. Hebrews chapter 14, I think. Chapter 5, I'm sorry. Chapter 5, verse 14. Chapter 5 in Hebrews. First mistake I've made today. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 14. Now look at this. Go back to verse 11. We read from 11 to 14. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing we are dull of hearing. For when for the time we ought to be teachers, we have need that one teach again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now notice verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, we're all familiar with the senses, right? And seeing, tasting, hearing, smelling, feeling. Those are physical senses. That makes you conscious of the world around you. When you lose your senses, you might be out of here. Now, mine are a little dull. I'm hearing out of one ear tonight. I smell about 50%. My touch is not like it used to be. None of my senses work 100%. My taste is about 60%. And some of you, just like me, you've lost all your senses. But now notice what he's talking about here. He's talking about spiritual senses. The spiritual man. Now, when the prophet came and you got saved and you're redeemed, that's the milk. Some people never get off the milk. You see, a baby will pick up anything and get his hands on and stick in his mouth. I know. I raised them. That's the same way of some Christian. They're babes. They hear some preacher on TV and he sounds good and they'll listen to what he say whether he's in the Word or not. You know. Some people, a preacher can be preaching and... How did he preach? Oh man, he had the power in the night. He did. How do you know? He ran from one side to the other. You could see the Spirit all over him. You could. Or he walks up to a man and hits him in the head and he falls back. You'll notice he never hits the floor. People are always out of kitchen. All their sermons are about physical healing. And babes in Christ eat that up. Remember what I showed you in Hebrews 5. They're babes. They'll eat whatever they can get in their mouth. No matter who says it. It's got to be right. It sounded good. That doesn't make it right. You see, until you graduate. Now I didn't say they wasn't saved. They're children. But they don't seem to be able to move from the baby state to the meat state. And you won't. Until you exercise your senses. What senses? The natural senses become the spiritual senses. Look what the Bible says in Psalms 24:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And then in Matthew 13:16, he says, blessed are your eyes that see and your ears that hear. How can they hear? Except somebody be sent. Taste. The word of God is like honey to the taste. See, until you move from the physical senses to the spiritual senses, then you can't exercise those senses. How do you exercise them? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's simple. Now, Jesus has come down in the past as prophet. Now he's come down in the present as our priest. You see, the priest is here to refresh us. Now, I've watched enough of these old westerns. You know, I love old westerns. Ask my wife. Give me an old 50s, 60s westerns and I've got hundreds of them. I've got some on VHS that I don't even have a player to play them on. And can't find anybody that convert them over. Marshall Andy comes on Saturday morning at 10 o'clock. I don't miss it if I'm home. Because he eventually gets into an old western. And in these old westerns, they had the old priest. And people would go in, and they would go into the little room, you know, and bow down, and they would confess, and they would come out feeling better about themselves. Now watch this. This is good. You see, the priest, until you understand the priesthood, you follow me? In the past, the death, burial, and resurrection, you're saved. But in order to understand the priesthood, you've got to go to Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, which is one of my favorite verses. And Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Now you're getting into the meat. You see, until you understand the priesthood is brought about by the resurrection. There had to be a resurrection before he could be the priest. And the Bible says he's the priest after the order of Melchizedek, with no beginning and no end. You remember, Aaron was a priest, but Jesus is the last priest. Now, what does a priest do? Now we're getting into the meat, see? We're off the milk. Now we're into the steak. We're understanding the resurrection. He's no longer in the grave. See, some people want to live between Good Friday and Easter. They can't move off of Saturday. They're saved, but they never get to enjoy the place of the priesthood because they're not willing to exercise their senses. Somebody asked me one day, said, if you knew Jesus was coming tomorrow, what would you have to run home and do? I said, you want to know the honest truth? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, you know, there's nothing I have to pack up. You know, and my wife's always with me. So I don't need to go get her. And my children, they're ready. Grandkids, they're ready. So, and some people say, well, I'd have to do it. I'd have. Not me. As one man said, I'm as ready as I'll ever be for Jesus to come back. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I'm ready for Christ to come back. Are you? So he becomes our... Now what does a priest do? He causes you to be stronger. Now you understand, when Jesus rose from the dead, when he died, the veil was rent. That opened the way into the Holy of Holies. You realize there was less than 50 people who ever went into the Holy of Holies. Jesus never did. Moses never did. None of the prophets ever went into the Holy of Holies. One king tried to, and guess what happened to him? He turned into a leper. The Holy of Holies was made to keep man out. God said, if you come in here, I'll kill you. That's why they wore veils on their garment. They'd move around in there to let the people outside know that they were still alive. But when Jesus died on the cross, he tore the veil in twain. Why? Because now he could go into the Holy of Holies. He's the high priest. And now, instead of he's saying, keep out, what does he say? Come on in. Tell me about your family. Come on in. Let's talk. What's bothering you? What's troubling you? You see, we become strong in the Holy of Holies where the priest is. You don't become strong on milk. You've got to get where the meat is. You've got to get where the priest is. He came down and he has come down. He's now here. You say, I thought he was seated at the right hand of the Father. Well, in John 14, he said, I'm going to leave you, but I won't leave you comfortless. I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he will do what I need to do. See? And so we've got the high priest with us. He renews us. We begin again. We can resume. We can start over. He energizes us. He replenishes us. He makes full again. He spirit fills us. He revives us. He stirs us up. He wakes us up. In other words, he touches those spiritual senses. And now we can taste the Word of God. We can see him. We can feel him. I was coming out of Birmingham, Alabama at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'd been in revival morning and night. Hadn't seen a TV, didn't have cell phones back then. And so I was driving up the highway out of Birmingham. I got about 30 miles out of Birmingham. And of course, I had the week on my mind. People that had got saved and, you know, the little church. And this field over on the right side, there was an image. It came at me. And I paused, and the only images I have of Christ are the pictures I've seen, like you, and of course the picture that the Bible paints. But this image kept coming at me. I had to pull off the road. It scared me. And when I pulled off the road, the image left. Haven't had that again. Haven't sensed that again. I was driving through Irwin, Tennessee in 1998, doing 60 miles an hour on the interstate. I set my cruise control on 65. Something spoke to me and said, you need to fasten your seatbelt. I never fastened a seatbelt. Never. I drove about 2 more miles and something shook me in my truck and said, fasten your seatbelt. I fastened my seatbelt. I drove another mile. I set my cruise on 65. I hit a 300-pound black bear broadside standing in the middle of the road. Did never see him. The highway patrolman came. The sheriff came. They said, see, you got your bear. And I said, yeah. And they said, yeah, and he got a truck. $6,000 damage. They told me point blank, if you hadn't had your seatbelt fastened, that impact would have thrown you 100 foot out in front of your truck. And you would probably be dead. spiritual senses. Nobody was in the truck to touch me. Spiritual senses. You stay in the Word and you'll see things that other people don't. I want to know Him and the power of His resurrection. You can taste Him. Read the book. You can feel Him. Read the book. You can see Him. Read the book. You can hear Him. Read the book. So, He came down in the past. He was our prophet. He comes down in the present as our priest to refresh us. Now, He becomes the great shepherd. Now, let's go to the last one. Now, I won't dwell on this one because it'd take all night and tomorrow too. He will come down in the future to receive us. He has come down in the past to redeem us. He comes down in the present to refresh us through the power of the resurrection. And then He's going to come in the future to receive us, that where He is, there we may be also. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together in the clouds to meet them with the Lord in the clouds, and so shall we ever. I love the word ever. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, who's the we? That's the dead in Christ. And that's the saints who are alive. One of the places I would love to be, and I've said this many times at funerals, I want to be standing in the middle of a cemetery because I love excitement. I walked through a cemetery one night. And before I got out of there, I was running full speed. I didn't know I had three gears. I mean, you walk through a cemetery at nighttime. You say, I thought you were saved. It had nothing to do with being saved. You know? I mean, but now in the daytime, I want to be standing in the cemetery. I want to see what those graves. You see, they're going to be called out before we are. They're going to come up, and then we're going to meet them with the Lord in the air. It'd be an awesome Halloween if Jesus came. You say, He's not going to come Halloween. Could come tonight. He's coming by. Watch the news. When you watch it, keep your Bible open. See? Because God has... That verse, when I saw that on the news, I thought, Euphrates River, drying up. I think that's in Revelation. And my son Justin, we got to talking about it. He said, Dad, is that in the fifth or sixth year of the tribulation period? I said, I don't know. I ain't gonna be here. He said, I'm not either. But he said, they just said in 2040 it was going to dry up. I said, well, God's a little ahead of them. It's exciting. I'm excited, are you? You say, I'm scared. Perfect love casteth out fear. Just remember, you're in perfect love. You have nothing to fear. He's got it all under control. God in heaven, thank you for the scattered thoughts. Thank you, Lord, that you're our prophet, priest, and king, our good, great, and chief shepherd. You love us so much. Help us to love you back. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.